Welcome to another episode of Autosave. I'm Camille Salzer-Hadaway, here with my co-host, Mr. Nick Andrade. Actually, Mr. at Nick Andrade.
Yeah.
And we're continuing our dive into Guardians of the Galaxy, the game. If you want to know why I did the at Nick Andrade, well, you should listen to our previous episode because it's in there. Yes. At the end of the episode. Yes. But question for you. Mm-hmm. Question of the day, Nick. Yes. For you, Mr. at Nick Andrade. Who is the more memorable villain in the MCU Guardians movies? So all of them. Is it Ronan or Ego?
For me, it's Ego, because that son of a bitch made me so angry. One, Yondu is the real father of Peter Quill in the movies. And you can't tell me no. Ego is a planet and he is literally an ego. And I hate him. And I especially hate him because he gave every single woman that he had slept with in order to produce a child, gave them cancer.
Yes.
How horrible is that? Like, that's not even like in the games, your mom dies because she gets shot, which is a little bit more dramatic, but also like if your mom is dying of cancer, it's like, God damn it. Come on.
That was brought on by your father on purpose.
Exactly.
But then is that a villain move, right? Like, is the more memorable villain?
Yes.
The more villainous? The one that has more villainy in their blood? Because for me, I would say Ronan as well because of the dance battle.
That's what I was going to say. 100% dance battle. So I would agree with that on that point. But again, like, you never really think, like, normally with villains, it's like, it's a giant boss battle and they're going to fight you, right? And they're going to destroy you and they're going to, you know, try to steal everything you love and or destroy everything you love or whatever it is. But Ego, on the other hand, was like, nah, you know what? I'm going to give your family cancer. Like, that is...
We're going dark.
That's just bad. Yeah, it goes super, super dark. So that's why it's Ego for me.
Well, this episode will be a cancer-free episode because hopefully we won't see Ego in it. And let's talk about last week's episode.
Hell yeah! Nova Corps! World Mind must have...
Come on. I don't think they're with the World Mind anymore.
Cops flying next to pirates, merchant vessels, military. Anybody who would have fought back's already here. Playing for the wrong team.
Nick is making me laugh here because he's just jamming out on the video call, but like really hey, hard.
When you get to listen to this song twice in two episodes, it's a good time. Billy Idol, let's go.
All right, let's go. And last week we went back to nowhere.
Yes.
To rescue Cosmo and try to stop Raker with Adam Warlock because, you know, he's God, so obviously he's all powerful. But guess what? He's not, because Warlock actually got beat down by Raker. And then we thwarted Nikki, but then she left with Raker. And then we also saved the best boy, Cosmo. That was a horrible Russian accent, by the way.
So was that an? I thought you were just trying to be like a mom and be like, the best boy.
The best boy. From his promise, which was he wanted to be back on Mother Russia. That's my other attempt.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like it. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. To just live out his life like a normal dog, but he remembered his puppies. They're also the cutest little boys. And then we also got to know more about Gamora and her past, specifically, mm-hmm. unfortunately, killing Nebula. And it kind of brought the group together to an understanding and to be real family. That was my Vin Diesel. Horrible. And of course, from this clip that you heard, it looks like Nova Corps is a part of the church as well, because they kind of showed up at the end of that chapter. On today's episode, I'm going to try not to do any more Vin Diesel impressions.
No, please.
And we're going to break down chapter 13 against all odds. Discussion for today, okay? We're going to talk about some of our favorite movie monsters and monster legends. Mm-hmm. This chapter, we're going to see a lot of monsters. So, Nick, I have to ask you, who is your favorite monster? Are you a monster person? I want to start off with that. Are you a monster person? Do you like monsters?
You know what? I'm not a monster person. Okay. I appreciate and respect the monster genre, mm-hmm. but I am not necessarily a monster guy.
Okay.
Although, if I was to, you know, meet Lady Hellbender, say at a restaurant, we were having dinner and some wine, I would 100% tell her that I love everything about monsters because I love Lady Hellbender and I would do anything to impress her.
Yeah, so you would just be a monster stan if Lady Hellbender was in the room. Yeah. You would start a burner account on Twitter talking about monsters.
I would. Yeah. I would.
I probably would not, although, you know, she is Lady Hellbender, got it going on. But I'm not into monsters as well. Like, I'm not into horror movies, so monsters always kind of scared me. However, I'm very into sci-fi, and I think that's why I started watching some monster movies. So, like, for me, Alien is probably my favorite monster. Because, and I liked Prometheus. Okay, we could talk about it in the Discord if you want. But, like, I like that whole lore behind Alien when they expanded it. I'm into aliens. You know, War of Worlds. All alien things I like.
I think I was always, I liked the suspense monster movies. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like with Godzilla, like you pretty much know he's going to show up and he's going to fight like King Ghidorah or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Or Mothra or something. I like the kind of like suspenseful ones where you don't really see the monsters as much. So I'm talking about like Cloverdale, A Quiet Place.
How about Arrival? Because Arrival I really like. You see the aliens a little bit, right? But they're not like seeing them is not the main focal point.
Even Signs, that wasn't too bad of a movie when I watched it when I was a kid. Maybe not now, but
yeah, I haven't watched it. I was too scared when it came out to watch Signs. I believed the truth was out there, so like I was very cautious with my alien entertainment because I might have just went overboard, so I had to control it. I did not watch Signs.
That's okay, because I'll have a confession here that might rub people the wrong way, but I've never seen any of the Aliens movies ever. Not even Prometheus.
You haven't watched Prometheus?
Ish.
Oh.
No, I didn't watch Aliens. I didn't watch Alien. Mm-hmm. Aliens 3. Nope. None of them.
I would say, you know, if you liked Arrival, I would watch Prometheus.
Okay.
And you don't really necessarily need to know all about aliens, but
Yes.
That's a good one. The thing I like about Godzilla is, yes, you know he's going to show up. You know it's going to be an epic battle, but that's pretty much wrestling or like two Gundams like fighting, right? So there is an appeal to that as well.
I would like that a lot. I had to mention it here too because this is the holiday season. Mm-hmm. Gremlins.
Oh yeah, I guess it's a holiday movie, right?
Yes, it is, very much so. I never watched Gremlins until like maybe like 5 years ago, and now I absolutely love Gremlins. And that's a Christmas movie, like that's in there. You never watched it?
No, I said you never watched it. I had to. My sister grew up in the 80s, so she forced me to watch like Never Ending Story, Gremlins, all that stuff. And Gizmo, I mean, it's just awesome. Howie Mandel, right? The voice of Gizmo. But yeah.
Oh, Howie Mandel was the voice of Gizmo?
That's Howie Mandel, yeah. He did Bobby's World. Same voice. Same voice.
Yeah.
There's an interview with him talking about how it's the same voice through all of his like voice acting career.
We're dating ourselves because of Bobby's World, by the way. I don't think many people know about Bobby's World.
Well, I feel like, okay, honestly, if you had cable as a kid, there were reruns, especially in Canada. There were reruns of things from like the 70s if you grew up in the 90s.
Oh, 100%.
So for me, like some people would be like, oh, you know the show from the 70s, the 80s. It's like, I didn't grow up in that time, but I know it because I had cable TV and it just replayed all of the time, all of the time. That's a scary monster in itself, reruns. But that's another conversation.
Oh, I thought you were going to say time.
Time is also another scary monster. Oh, gosh. Yep. We have to give a shout out to our OG monsters, you know, Frankenstein.
Yes.
Dracula. If it weren't for them paving the way.
Yes.
For all the monsters out there, we wouldn't have the aliens of today.
I agree. Shout out to them from those 30s movies. Appreciate them.
Yes. Shout out to them. Well, actually, you know what? Why don't you give us or give them a shout out on our Patreon or our Discord, and you could actually learn more about our Patreon. So that's patreon.com/autosavepod. And then after the break, we're going to actually get into the game.
What if the answer's been slobbering right in front of us this entire time?
Peter, this beast cannot operate a ship.
That's not what I'm saying. Think about it. Cammy's pretty much useless to us, but she's also useless to the church. They want people to brainwash. I bet animals aren't even on their radar.
They went after Cosmo.
Cosmo's mind is way more advanced than ours. His intelligence makes him weak to the promise, just like Rocket.
Thanks, but not an animal.
What I'm saying is we know someone with an entire beast army, and I bet Raker hasn't even looked twice at her.
How can you be certain she is not one of them?
Guardians of the gut!
Nope, she's good.
You do realize she still wants to flay us and feed us to her babies?
Guys, this is it. Okay, our one last long shot. We've got to find a way to apologize and make things right. Okay, we'll get her a gift. A peace offering.
Groot ain't going back in a cage.
No, think bigger. Way bigger. The one beast that she'd want more than any other. Jax knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes!
Oh, no.
Here it comes!
You know where we're going. To Maklu Form! To battle the legendary Fin Fang Foom!
It makes me laugh every time. Battling the legendary beast, Fin Fang Foom. Yes, we are finally going to see Fin Fang Foom after they've talked about him so many times. Like, I was excited about this. I do want to say, like, just again, the writing about how Groot calls Lady Hellbender. And then she's like, Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, it just goes to that upbeat, you know, light after a really heavy chapter, I would say. Mm-hmm. Something a little bit lighter and like brings back the excitement for us. It's so good.
Yeah. And like, I love the callback of like the first few chapters. You know, Drax was saying it 50 times. We were ignoring him. But when he said that, and like everyone was excited, and like Gamora's like, here we go. And then he's like, boom, bang, boom. I was like in my chair. I was like just moving around. I was so excited because I thought this was such a great plan by Quill. Just adds so much to it. And like using Lady Hellbender again, mm-hmm. I get to see Lady Hellbender again, which is great for me to try to win her over. But what do you think about this plan, by the way? Because I think it's great.
You're right, though. Like Drax has been saying this for the longest time.
Yeah.
And it's funny that Cammy was the one who actually gave Quill this idea. When really
I know
it has been Drax that's been giving Quill this idea. But yeah, it makes sense. Like I think I knew Lady Hellbender would play a part somehow.
Yeah.
You know, we would see her again because she's been sending her minions after us. And I guess now because we know my fear is at this point, like, mm-hmm. I'm worried that she may actually be taken over by the church, Universal Church, because she's very powerful. I actually see her as a scary enemy in this game. And I feel like if we were to face her, we would have a fight. So although this plan seems like it may be a good idea, I just hope that the Universal Church of Truth does not get to her first.
That's true. Yes. Do you think capturing Fin Fang Foom as a peace offering, like, it just seems like Lady Hellbender hates their guts altogether. Right? Like, is that even going to work?
Well, and they also killed one of her, like, babies.
Oh,
one of her little minion monster things.
And tried to thwart her.
Yeah.
Lie to her.
They lied. So, yeah, we're going to fly into Maklu 4 and avoid a bunch of icebergs. Did you do this in your first try with the Milano? Because you have to like fly through.
No, I didn't even know what I was doing properly. I did like 7 times flying into the caves, and then I realized you have to fly over the caves.
Over.
And it was tough. Did you do it easily? Because I did not. It maybe took me 10 tries.
I was worried because I realized how many obstacles there were in the way.
Yes.
I did this on the first try. I didn't have any issues.
Wow, fancy. Are you a gamer or something?
Some people like to call me that. But I think it's honestly playing like games like Star Fox. I've learned never try to dive under the caves. That's the hardest thing to do. Just avoid.
Yeah.
And then, you know, go over any caves, any obstacles, because at least it's the sky. There's nothing blocking you there. But the gang crash lands and everyone is laughing and having so much fun. Oh my God, look at them having so much fun. And the team all loves each other. The galaxy actually might be ending, but at least this crew is thriving. Which is what I like to see.
Yeah.
So Fing Fang Foom shoots fireballs randomly around the snowy planet, and that actually causes meteors to fall onto the planet.
Yes.
It's terrifying when you're walking through this environment, just to like, there were moments where like you have to do an action prompt where you're in the middle of like walking and then the ground just like gives way.
Yeah.
And then you have to suddenly jump over. How did you find like exploring this area?
Super fun. Like, again, like this mission, I think it's one of my favorites, and it's almost like the dialogue is really pushing me through this because it's just so fun. Everyone is having so much fun. They were laughing as the Milano crashed. They were having a good time. You know, there's an impending doom going on with the whole universe, and they're just so close together that, and they're making this all fun. They really truly believe that they can stop this, which is great. But now we're at a point where there's no more rifts and no one's angry at each other. And this, Camille, is like the basic part of gameplay that I love, which is everyone is happy.
Yeah.
And they're all trying to do something good, which makes me feel good inside. So super excited, and it's super fun to go through because of it.
Drax's excitement, I think, kind of outweighs everyone else's, because this is a huge thing for Drax and his people. He actually tells us that his people always try to go and die on this planet in an effort to kill Thin Fang Foom. It's just seen as not a rite of passage, but like one of those things that you have to do in order to have an honorable death. Mm-hmm. And then he also tells us a story of Thanos and how he raided Drax's home planet, leaving his people to flee. So they were kind of scattered everywhere. And on this planet, you see like the little markers that his people left behind, which I thought that was like, although it was not a light story, because obviously his people perishing is not a light topic, but the excitement that he has for hopefully going up against Fing Fang Foom is kind of encompassing like this moment, like this rooted like cultural moment that he has is with his people. So you know it means so much more to Drax.
Yes,
which I really liked.
And what he was explaining too was just like, you know, most of these people are refugees. Mm-hmm. They did come here to either, you know, they had no choice because of Thanos or whatever. But again, they do try to defeat Fing Fang Foom. But it's just, I don't know. It's the themes are way heavier than you think. And it's almost like a throwaway because Drax is kind of making light of it. But you think like, these are really heavy topics that we're discussing in this game.
In this as well, Fing Fang Foom, we're looking for him, but there are also other enemies. They're like, Nick describes them as octopus things and poison guys. Again, keeping the trend of our explanations of enemies alive.
I don't know how to explain them, okay?
I more think of them as like slugs. Like they're
yeah,
more slugs.
Yeah, but they have legs too. They're kind of like...
Like millipedes?
Salamander slugs.
Like giant millipedes? Or like, you know, like the little...
I don't think they had that many legs though.
Okay, maybe an earwig. They're like a giant earwig.
Okay,
earwig.
That makes sense. Yes.
Yes, that are very icy, I guess.
Icy earwigs, love it.
Yeah, icy earwigs. And then like you have these enemies that put out like this poisonous gas, so you really have to make sure that you're keeping your distance. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about encountering these new enemies?
Super annoying, but easy to kill. Nothing's too difficult so far. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, I'm just having fun on this planet in general, but yeah, nothing that's causing me too much pain other than I have no idea how to describe them at all.
Oh, one thing to mention that I did not mention before, when you actually get to this planet and you crash land, Drax kind of rallies the group together and you could choose to sing with them. And throughout this level, he starts singing the song. It kind of reminds me of like, I don't know, like a Viking song, like when they're going into battle, it's similar to that.
Yep.
How did you feel about Drax's song, but mostly his singing?
At first, it was funny, but after a while, he kept singing it, and I was getting annoyed because, again, his singing is horrible. and he's just like shouting, but there's points too where I feel like it's lagging while I'm playing, and he's just singing it more and more. And I'm trying to like get these, like, I think I was trying to get him to move a boulder, but he was too busy singing. So like the button malfunctioned and I had to wait more and he kept singing and I just had enough at that point. Like, Drax, man, like, you're a cool dude, but your singing is not good. Like, you're no Jay Biebs. All right, bud?
No Jay Biebs. Oh, that's harsh. So while Drax sings his song, we actually look out and we see smoke in the distance, which we think is a camp of people. They also go back and forth with a weird way to like infiltrate the camp and all this stuff. But it really gives Quill a chance to talk to Gamora as they look out into the distance over what happened in Chapter 12 and kind of her aggression and anger.
Hey, is everything okay? We didn't really talk after your,
the killing my sister thing?
Yeah, and other tangential topics.
I'm fine-ish.
Okay.
Peter, there's a good chance Nikki's already lost.
No, I don't accept that.
And if she is, I know I'll be the one expected to make the hard call.
She's my daughter.
But I'm the killer. We both know that.
It's not gonna come to that.
And if it does? If it's a choice between her and literally everything else, Peter, you'd do anything for someone you care about. And we both know that
We both know that you would as well. Which is why you're exactly who I need to bring my girl home. Alive.
I hope you're right.
So it's all about the choices. You know, Gamora thinks that we have to kill Nikki, and Quill still thinks that she could be turned. But I want to know, Nick, what do you think?
Well, I think she can be turned, to be honest. But that's just me being a nice guy. But I do see a scenario, because I think the themes in this game are really heavy. So I do see a scenario where Nikki, where we think that she can be turned, but something bad happens and we end up having to kill her. Mm-hmm. I don't think Gamora is the person to do it. I think Quill will be,
yeah.
But it'll be extra painful, especially, you know, she's his daughter and all of that.
This kind of takes me back to when Quill didn't want to do the math. Maybe he's yeah. in denial, like, because even you have the option to choose what to say after Gamora says, like, you know, we may have to kill. I think, like, you have a response here when someone else in the team, I think it might have been Rocket actually, brings it up and, like, what you want to say to follow up with that. And I just kept, I didn't want to do the math. So that was my response. One time I did choose to, like, address it and be like, it won't come to that. We're going to save Nikki. But then Quill says it in a way where he doesn't even believe it himself. And I think the two sides here, whether we have to kill Nikki or whether Nikki can be turned, is just two thoughts that is also going into, like, that are in Quill's mind, although it's being reflected by kind of Gamora's thought and Quill's thought. He's conflicted. So after that, we go after some weird, according to Nick, giant gorilla yeti things.
You explain it, all right? You keep throwing me under the bus with my explanations.
Because that's how you... Because it's just so funny. They're called Wendigos because they say Wendigo, Wendigo.
Yes.
That was also my impression of them. Horrible. I'm sorry. Only to get stuck when we go after these guys because some are following us. And actually, it gets us into a bit of a jam.
Gonna hit us!
There ain't no way through! Follow me! Into a wall! Trust me!
So we finally unlock our final elemental, and it's fire pyro. Once again, Peter learns this ability when he is faced in trouble, but this time when he learns it, he realizes what's happening, and he takes control of it and asks the team to trust him because he knows that his guns have his back, his blasters. What do you think of the pyro elemental? It's kind of like a plasma shot, right?
Yes, it's a plasma shot. It's my favorite. It can melt through things, but also it deals damage to enemies.
Yes.
The other ones were all status effects. You could bring an enemy closer to you for melee. You can stun them. You can freeze them. But this one, it actually inflicts damage, and it quite a bit of damage too. And this is the one that was my go-to after this. I loved it. But yeah, it's pretty cool too that Quill now can control this power where he knows it's coming.
Yeah.
And again, just like every character is learning something about themselves, Quill is as well.
Yeah, I love that. This is not my favorite elemental just because it takes some time to charge up between your shots. So it kind of leaves you vulnerable. But yes, it does do a lot of damage to enemies and helps you actually access areas. So once all that's done, we kind of hear Wendango. That, again, terrible impression. And these are the giant gorilla yeti. I'm going to say giant yeti monsters. And okay. Quill doesn't think they're mean. So you have an option to kind of say Wendango back or say... Hi, I'm Starquill. I said, Starquill.
Starquill.
Star-Lord. Hi, great. I'm Starquill. I went for trying to introduce yourself. Doesn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work for me either. And these assholes want to fight us. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, guys. But guess what? We have the plasma shot.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. They want to fight us. They end up ganging up on us and we have to fight a pack of them. How did you find this battle? Was it just like a cruise because of the plasma shot?
The enemies their skill is definitely better than most that we've seen so far. So I do think that we're progressively getting harder mobs, which is great, but they were still pretty easy. It's easy to dodge their attacks. They're kind of fast and strong, but it's easy to dodge, especially you have all your abilities unlocked. So wasn't too much of a problem. There was a lot of them. That was the only annoying thing.
There were a lot of them, and they're very strong. Their attacks are fast. But again, the plasma attack worked really well. And you have to kind of fight two layers of their health bar before they're actually defeated. So now that we've defeated these Wendangos, you have to actually follow the smoke to where that camp of people might be.
Yes.
And there we find a village completely ravaged by Finn. Flames, everything. It's just destroyed. But there is one survivor, and she's a tentacle head lady, according to Nick again. but that's a pretty accurate description. She has like a head that's a ball, but then all these kind of like a Medusa thing, but instead of a face with different features, it's just a round ball with lots of.
It looks like it's sucked onto her head, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like she has a jar on her head or something, and then there's just tentacles coming out of it. I don't know why, but Nick also wanted us to talk about the fact that there's a weird coat. She has a weird coat, this lady.
Oh, yeah. What's her coat? Like, it's just, like, full of paper, or is it fur? I have no idea what that is.
I thought it was fur. It kind of looked like a Wendango.
It had layers. Oh, maybe it was a Wendango. Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Oh, that's pretty brutal if she did that.
Did you know who this person was? Because I felt like that this is someone, like, why is she the only survivor? She has to be, like, someone important that either we would see later on or that.
Yeah, I am pretty sure there's a reference, but I have no idea who this lady is myself. Did you know? Do you know?
Well, I found out afterwards. I looked it up.
Oh, okay. No, tell us.
And it took a while to look it up because I was, like, searching Tentacle Lady, Guardians of the Galaxy game. Nothing was coming up. It just kept showing Mantis, by the way. Every time I looked it up, it kept showing Mantis.
She has tentacles, what?
Well, I guess she has the antennas. I think that's what the translation was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But this character is called Ruby Thursday. Great name, by the way. Ruby Thursday, not Ruby Tuesday. but she is the sole survivor, and she is part of the Headmen, a group of villains whose only similarity is having weird heads, and they clashed with the original Defenders on occasion, and she was released in 1976, Defenders issue number 32. So I do find it, we haven't really mentioned a lot of these Easter eggs, but they're sprinkled throughout the game in terms of like characters that are apparently a part of the Defenders / Guardians era in space. So I think that's really cool. I was expecting her to like have some part of the story, but I don't think she did. It was just a reference.
Just a reference. Ah, nice Easter egg. So after you find her, you also realize that some of the people that were in this camp were Drax's people because you see more of those symbols there. Mm-hmm. He kind of adapts one of them into like representing him being here to kill Fin Fam Foom. And there's like this funny exchange throughout this level because Quill always has to remind them they're not here to kill kill Fin Fan Foom. They're here to like just subdue him, to deliver him to Lady Hellbender. But you know what? Enough talking about the guy, because it's time to meet the monster.
Where is he?
Maybe we spooked him.
Impossible. Foom was born without fear.
You don't know that.
In the cold heart of a dying star.
Dying stars ain't cold.
This one was.
You think his lair's behind that?
Let's find out.
Dragon. That's right. Fin Fan Foom is a dragon, and it's boss fight time. Nick, you've been waiting for a boss fight. How are you feeling? What do you think of Fin Fan Foom as boss?
I don't know Fin Fan Foom, so I guess if you do know Guardians, you do know that it's a dragon. I was expecting to be like this giant monster thing.
Okay.
Even with the flames, I don't know. I feel like it was going to look weirder, but it looks super cool. Like, I love the design. It looks like a dragon I want to pet. That could be my friend.
Aw. He does look like he could be your friend. He has like this like serious but like friendly face to him.
And great colors as well. Oh, but boss fight, like you said, too. Like you said to me, super excited. This is our second-ish boss fight. Raker one was like his little fight wasn't anyone. So this is our second boss fight since chapter 4.
Yeah.
So I was really excited to finally dig into something that was that had a giant health bar. Mm-hmm. Let's just say.
And it is a boss fight, so you know there's going to be different phases. So the first phase of Fin Fan Foom, you're just dodging all of his attacks and really focusing your energy on the ice armor that he has. He has two like ice armor plates on his chest and then also on his hands and on his face. They act like as a little shield. I thought that was really cool. I don't know if like Fin Fan Foom was like, one day I'm going to take this block of ice and use it as armor, and like he kind of makeshift armor out of it. Or if he was frozen in ice and it just so happened to thaw out that he has this armor in very convenient places.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me know what you think of the Discord. But you want to make sure that you're really keeping an eye out on his patterns, right? So he kind of winds up his head to sweep across the area with his neck. You want to keep an eye out for alerts on the ground before his fireballs land. That could be pretty chaotic. I found that very hard. And then once you kind of stagger him, you need to take advantage of the Guardian's abilities. So use Drax, Gamora's mega abilities. I also used Rocket's mega abilities with his gun. You want to follow them up as well with regular abilities to kind of knock Fin Fan Foom down. And then you keep fighting and you keep attacking his legs and using your Guardian's abilities. There's this really cool point when you go into the next phases of the fight where you actually use chunks of ice to create like a slingshot. Once you remove his armor, there's scars that are there. So you focus mostly on the chest plate or his chest where the biggest scar is, and Drax like holds a piece of ice and you with Groot's help, you kind of slingshot it and your blaster, you slingshot it to him. So it's pretty cool.
I didn't realize that for a while. So I was just fighting Foom for quite a bit. I couldn't time it. I didn't see it when it happened. I wasn't really sure. And then when I focused in, I realized that there was the call to action where you had to press, I think, triangle or
Y
or triangle. Yeah. And then I managed to do that pretty easily. Once I figured that out, the fight was easier. But before, I was just like fighting and like he was not losing any health. I'm like, what am I doing wrong here? And then I figured that out way later.
Well, don't make the mistake Nick did. Make sure that you really are using those call to action prompts. And then from there, you defeat Fin Fan Foom.
Nobody escapes my wrath, Floorboard.
Monster Queen of Seknarf 9, you said you'd hear him out. Promised.
I hope this is the one where you make a good speech.
Oh.
We screwed up. We conned you, robbed you, killed your baby. We can't take back what we've done. But we want to make it right.
Quill.
You murdered the Dragon Lord of Kakarantara! Ah! Harvest begins. Dead worlds screaming across space. We must go. Now.
Someone needs to take a stand against the church. We could really use some help.
You pay one debt, then create another?
No, though I can kind of see...
Enough.
Let's go.
So Nick gets his dream. Lady Hellbender shows up, but she is ready to kill the Guardians of the Galaxy. Mantis also makes a surprise appearance as well. Apparently, it looks like she convinced Lady Hellbender to meet us.
Yep.
Or maybe not convinced, but told her to kind of listen and to team up with us.
Yeah.
But really, when Lady Hellbender shows up, she kind of catches us in the act as we accidentally killed Fin Fan Foom.
Way to go, guys.
Classic Guardians move. But luckily, we have a healer on our side, and Groot heals the beast with his powers, and Foom comes back to life. Mantis also lets us know that she did convince Hellbender to at least listen.
Yes.
To the Guardians, hear them out. And this gives a chance for Quill to buy time, but also for Groot to heal Fin Fan Foom. And also they see the life energy from the planet being sucked out for the Universal Church of Truth.
Right.
So very easily, Lady Hellbender agrees to join forces with the Guardians, as she knows that they're the last line of defense for the galaxy, even though she's kind of opposed to them being the last line of defense. And it doesn't seem like it takes much convincing, really. I think Groot was the savior for the Guardians here, because if he didn't heal Fin Fan Foom, there would be no conversation with Lady Hellbender.
No, yeah, it was totally for Groot, like with Groot's help, in being able to save Foom. But my question is, again, like I get that was the saving grace for Lady Hellbender, but again, it seemed like she was convinced very easily. Quill was like, please, can you help us? And she's like, ah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's like you're literally putting your whole, like, all your monster army on the line in order to save these people. Like, it's on you. And you were convinced that quickly. Although, I must say, I'm very disappointed. I thought there was a perfect opportunity here for Groot to use his life force all the way so that he becomes Baby Groot. Just like in the movies. I was actually hoping for that to happen.
I would be so disappointed if that happened here, because we know it's not the final battle.
Well, I mean, Baby Groot fighting would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious. Oh, you're right. But I don't think it took that much convincing, because also she probably sees what's happening in the galaxy with the Universal Church of Truth, and obviously hearing it from Mantis as well. So after the break, we're going to talk more about boss battles and monsters.
The noble Lady Hellbender shall fight alongside us this day. After we bested Foom, Foom the Invincible.
I think we found Drax's peanut butter and chocolate.
We're on the path to destiny, my friends.
I still can't believe we did it. We did do it, right?
We sure did, and we got Mantis back.
But we lost Warlock. We'll need him to exercise the Magus once we shut down that ritual.
So we bust him out of cult prison. I've done jailbreaks before, we all have.
We still tracking him?
Oh yeah, that thing ain't coming out easy.
Good, then all we gotta do is get there on time and hope Lady Hellbender does too.
She will, I'm certain of it.
All right, let's gear up, people. Tie up any loose ends, take a pee if you have to, because we're not stopping again.
So the next part of the plan is to go after Warlock and help him escape while Lady Hellbender will help against the Universal Church of Truth. Do we think this is a good plan?
Yes, I think it's a good plan because it's the only plan. I also enjoy how excited Drax was, and Quill makes the comment that's his peanut butter and chocolate. That's what makes him happy. It was defeating Foom and the Invincible. But yeah, it's literally the only plan left. It seems like most of the galaxy has turned. Raker has ignored a lot of the monsters. It's a perfect plan to sneak in. It's almost like a 300 type thing where I'm sure Lady Hellbender will distract Raker, and that will give the Guardians a chance to extract Warlock or try to get to Nikki at some point. That's my guess is what the plan will end up being. That Lady Hellbender will almost be like a kind of a distraction so the Guardians can slip in.
Yeah, I feel like this has to be a good plan because I feel like if I'm outed again, like, and thinking this is near the end of the game, I'm probably going to be more annoyed than anything else as we go through. So this is the climax. We're leading up to that huge, you know, ending for this game, and it has to be a good plan. Let's talk about Fin Fin Foom overall as a boss fight. Mm-hmm. We talked about how he's a cuddly looking dragon and that's cool, but as a boss and like the difficulty, did you have any issues? Was it a good boss fight? Did it fulfill your needs, Nick?
I think it did. I think it checked all the boxes off. Apart from my little trouble with the iceberg that I didn't realize that I needed to throw, the fight was really fun. Using all our special abilities, this was a hard boss. In terms of like health-wise, maybe it wasn't necessarily a hard boss in terms of mechanics, but it had a lot of health. It was a very tanky type boss, and you really felt that. And just the all-encompassing of this chapter, being with Finn, meeting Finn for the first time, fighting him, he does seem like a very difficult thing to defeat. Mm-hmm. And I had just a lot of fun. So it was a blast, a boss fight. I think they needed more of these. Again, I know you're saying you're maybe on the opposite side of this, but when I get into this boss fight, it makes me realize how much more I think I needed it in this game.
You wanted more of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that like going into this boss fight and like encountering Fin Fan Foom, mm-hmm. it did spark that like, oh, I do like this. Maybe we do need more of it. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to like our final fights. In terms of dragons,
yes,
in video games,
yes,
where does Fin Fang Foom rank? Because I can't think of many dragons.
In video games?
Yeah, or like in general, in terms of like dragons in general.
Well, dragons in, because again, like we talked about monsters off the top, and Foom is a monster, but we realize that he's a dragon, which I think is even cooler, to be honest. A fire-breathing dragon. I love dragons so much. I think dragons are the best. Video game-wise, I think we go to like Skyrim. Lots of dragons in there. And then me being a Final Fantasy nerd myself, there's Bahamut, there's Nidhogg, there's Tiamat. There's a bunch of dragons in Final Fantasy in general. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think for me, Fin Fang Foom's probably the best. Or also the dragon Shang-Chi is cool. But I think he's like my favorite dragon. And then right under him, like right under him, very close, is Falcor, the luck dragon. There we go. Keeping it full circle in like 80s kind of realms of the 80s.
Wait, can I say, love the dragons in the Game of Thrones until they ruined the show. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So those are probably lower on our list.
Yes.
Anything else you want to mention from this fight or chapter?
Just that it was the best. I reiterate, it was my really favorite chapter of the game because It was just fun. It just felt like super Guardians. I just loved every aspect of it. I do think Lady Hellbender maybe conceded a little too quickly, but overall, happy feeling in my heart, which is always important for me when I play video games.
There's so many happy feelings. I love this chapter as well, and we're going to keep the happy feelings going by shouting out our Patreon member, Demi McCloy. Thank you for supporting the show. But that's pretty much it for this episode. The adventure continues next time on Autosave.